Amen. It is so good to see everyone that is here in the building today. So good to see everybody that is worshiping online at least the cameras I can see anyway. Glad that you can be worshiping with us no matter where you might happen to be. Amen. Praise God. It is good to be a part of the family of God. Amen. And even in this time where we have and are still remaining socially distant, right? Even here in the building right now, I am so glad that the Spirit of God has been at work. Boyce was reminding us earlier that it's been 10 weeks since we've been in the building, and for some it'll end up being 12 before you're back, and some it may even be longer than that. But I just praise God that not being in the building doesn't keep us from being family. It doesn't keep us from being connected. It doesn't keep us from being touched by the grace of Jesus. It doesn't keep us from the gospel. It doesn't keep us from the provision of God. It doesn't keep us from His healing and from His saving. It doesn't keep us from the power of the blood of Jesus Christ. Like, all of that is available to us, whether we're in a building or in our homes or wherever we are. And I just praise God for the way that He is at work in us. Even now, amen? Amen. Let me pray, and then we will get started here this morning. Lord God, we do thank You so much for Your presence here among us. We thank You, Lord, for the opportunity to worship together. And we thank You, Father, that Your Holy Spirit is at work. God, I ask that the words of my mouth would be Yours and Yours alone. God, that Your message would be proclaimed, and that we would all not only hear from You, God, but that you would encourage us and motivate us, Father, to say yes to You. Whatever that might look like, whatever that might mean, Father, You have Your way in us. For it is in Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Amen. Today we are going to continue on in our sermon series on parenting in the Spirit. And just as a reminder, even for those of you who maybe you're not currently parenting kids in your home, your kids maybe already left the home, maybe you never had kids, or whatever that might happen to be there, like recognize that as we're talking about parenting in the Spirit, these are principles that apply to really every area of responsibility that you have in your life. So that might be in your job, that would be in your home, even with a spouse, that whoever you might be around, you have a responsibility to the kingdom. And all of these principles that we're talking about here, while they do directly connect with parenting kids that may be in your home, they're also tremendously powerful even in other areas of responsibility as well. I want to invite you to turn in your Bibles with me to Galatians chapter 5, verses 22 and 23. Last week we started in Galatians chapter 5, and we're looking at some ways that what it would look like to recognize that everything is spiritual. Everything that we're doing, everything that we're a part of, not just in a place of worship, but everything is spiritual. Even our parenting, even our areas, every area of responsibility, every place of leadership that we have, all of these places and these times are times of that the Spirit of God is at work. Amen. And what we want to do today is begin to look into what is the fruit that God's Holy Spirit actually produces, and what are some steps that we can take to actually see God produce that fruit from His Spirit in our lives. So let me read out of Galatians chapter 5, verses 22 and 23. And it says, "But the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, forbearance, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. Against such things there is no law." Man, wouldn't it be incredible if those two verses were the way that we could describe our families? Wouldn't it be awesome if when somebody asked you, like, hey, how are things going at home? Like, you could just recite Galatians chapter 5, verse 22 and 23. Like you know what? Like we are seeing the love of God in our home and the joy of God and the peace of God and the patience of God. We're seeing the fruit of God. Wouldn't it be awesome if that is what you could say about your home? And even about your parenting, I don't know about you, but there are some days where I cannot say that. There are some, I would go so far as to say there are some moments where I could say that. but there's also moments in pretty much every day where I couldn't say that as well. But wouldn't it be amazing if we were able to see the fruit of God's Holy Spirit in our homes each and every day? See, I actually believe that that's possible. I actually believe that that God can make that happen in our homes. That God can produce His good fruit through His Holy Spirit in our homes. However, in order for us to be able to experience the fruit of God, we need to recognize that we can't parent in the flesh. We can't respond in the flesh. We can't do things our way and expect the fruit of God to be produced. No, we've got to do things God's way in order to see God's fruit produced in our homes, right? However, if we set that as our goal, if we truly set that up in front of us as this is what I want my home to look like, this is what I want my home to feel like, well then, how would we go about accomplishing that? It's been interesting this week in particular. I know, I assume that most of you are aware of the murder of George Floyd in Minneapolis and just all of the conversation that has happened around that, right? Tragic what has happened, and all the different things that are coming from that. We trust and hope that God's will come and His will be done even in this situation, that God will receive glory in this somehow. But one of the things that I have learned is that we respond and we live in the fruit of God's Holy Spirit in different ways. I'm noticing even in just some of the Facebook comments and those kinds of things that people are seeking the fruit of God's Holy Spirit in a couple of different ways. One of those ways is that there are some people that are seeking the fruit of God's Holy Spirit by avoiding anything that might appear to steal the fruit from us, right? So we set up certain protections around us so that we keep ourselves even from the appearance of evil, so that we don't have to deal with certain temptations, so that we can put our family in the best position possible to be able to experience God's fruit. What I've noticed as well is that there is another group of people that is recognizing that there are some people who aren't able to do that. That first option, right? There are some people who aren't able to be away from every injustice. There are some people who are not able to be away from certain temptations or even struggles, right? And for a host of reasons, right? And what I'm finding is that there's this other group of people who is choosing to say that I'm not just going to isolate myself from what would appear to be, quote-unquote, the problem, but rather I'm going to put myself into that arena in order that I might be a place of protection or a people of protection for those that are in those places or in those situations or in those conflicts. It's interesting for me it's important for me to note this, because if you're not, whichever one of whichever one of those groups that you are, let me say it that way, whether you are isolating or going after those that aren't able to isolate. You look at the other group very differently, right? And I'm noticing that even in the church, even in society as a whole, in our culture, we're looking at each other very, very differently. I would not presume to know where it is that you stand today, and how it is that you have addressed different issues throughout our culture, not just this particular situation with George Floyd. However, I do think this has implications for the way that we parent. Let me give you an example of what I mean. This is just one story out of many that I could have brought before you today. That was shared on a Facebook page that I'm connected to. It says, about 3 weeks ago, I brought my daughter to a park for a private training. The public park happens to be in a very exclusive area filled with multi-million-dollar homes. While there, my other girls needed to complete some running assignments, so I thought it would be perfect to bring them so they could run around the track. A young man arrived a few minutes after us to work out in the turf area of the playground. He appeared to be a high school kid trying to do what he can to stay in shape during the quarantine. A male runner arrives for a run. Every time he ran past the young man, he yelled at him. The young man ignored him and continued his workout. Once my girls finished their run, they stopped to show me their times, and we proceeded to go toward our car to retrieve their water bottles. The runner yelled at us about not practicing social distance. I responded that I'm not required to be socially distant from my own children. My youngest daughter couldn't understand why he was yelling at us. My oldest made the observation that while running, she noticed he said nothing to anyone else about social distancing or to those that were using equipment that had yellow caution tape on it due to the Harris County park orders at that time. She also said that he stared at her and my youngest daughter every time he ran by. While talking, the young man who had been working out walked toward us. Visibly shaken, he asked if the man had said anything to us. I told him yes, and we asked, and he asked me, what can we do about it? In that moment, I realized how helpless we both felt. We felt alone in a park full of people. He said the runner kept saying he shouldn't be working out here. The young man didn't understand why or what he was doing. I could tell this experience was new for him. I told the young man to finish his workout and that I would stay near him until my middle daughter was finished with her training session. If anything were to happen, I wanted to make sure someone was there to speak up for this young man. I called my husband to let him know what was going on just in case things were to escalate. As the runner passed us, he stared at us. We glared back at him. And my fiery youngest daughter mumbled under her breath. He eventually left. As a mom, I wanted to do what I could to protect the young man and make sure that he left the park safely. I wanted him to return home to his family safe and unharmed. This was 3 weeks ago. A family that was accused of any kind of wrongdoing by any kind of authorities, right? They were a family that was at the park. Now, what's interesting is she actually goes on to say that she did not mention the race of anyone in this story, but we all probably have a pretty good idea as to what that story looks like, don't we? What I found interesting was that as I was reading her story, something hit me. I don't know how I might have responded there. I know that there have been times where I have had my children at different places, parks and whatnot, where things may be happening that I am not comfortable with. And more often than not, my first inclination is, let's go. Let's go. I don't want my children to be there. I don't want to risk that something would happen. I don't want, I don't know how I would feel if something happened to them. Yet at the same time that my instinct is to go, what I'm doing is I'm also leaving behind those that don't have the option to go. And as that struck me, it helped me to realize that as we are striving to be parents who are following the leading of the Holy Spirit, that looks different right now, depending on who you are and the way that you were brought up. And what I want us to do today is I want us to look into where can we begin, not just in regard to George Floyd and issues of race, but as we are raising up our children in a culture that is dealing with situations like this, what seems to be on a weekly basis, how do we raise our children in a way that they know what the Spirit of God is doing? And that we are more led by the Spirit's leading than we are by our own fears. I would love for my children to be able to tell you that the way our family, that if you were to ask us how our family is, I would love for my children to be able to say that we experience the fruit of God's Holy Spirit each and every day of our lives. I would love for them to say that. The question is, how do we get to that point? Well, let me throw out a couple of things here that or even kind of a review of some of the things we've talked about already. If you remember in the very first week of this sermon series, as we're looking at being parents that are parenting in the Spirit, the first thing we have to do is we have to look at us. And I think this is so important, particularly for the church today, right? As a church, and particularly in a time where we do come together, at a building for a period of worship, it is so easy for us to gather together for 1 hour and to put on our face and to put on our church clothes and to look like we belong, right? To look like things are good, to look like everything's okay, to just, to go and shake hands with somebody and say, I'm fine, okay? Everything's fine. Don't ask me anymore. I'm fine, right? Yet the truth of the matter is, if we really get down to it, we're not entirely as fine as we think we are. And what we need to make sure that we're doing as a church body is not just being ready to say that we are fine to those that are around us, but that we would really look at ourselves and say, am I really fine? Am I really okay? Am I really where I need to be in regard to God's Holy Spirit? Am I submitting to God's Holy Spirit? Because if I'm not submitting to God's Holy Spirit, how in the world am I going to be able to teach my kids or anybody else, my coworkers, my boss, my employees? Like, how am I going to be able to teach anybody how to submit to God's Holy Spirit if I'm not submitting to God's Holy Spirit, right? So we got to look at ourselves. And again, I want to remind you, and I'm gonna do this throughout this entire sermon today, as we come back to this situation with George Floyd and the police officer in Minneapolis, like we've got to look at ourselves and say too, like how are we responding to that situation? When we see the reports of the looting and the rioting and those kinds of things, how are we responding there? Like, is our first inclination to blame and to accuse people of how in the world could they do this, and how in the world could they, what, they're obviously not helping their community, why in the world would they do that? Or are we actually trying to gain an awareness of, through God's Holy Spirit, of how it is that we might even be able to minister to people like this, that we might be able to minister to people who are so angry and so much at the end of the rope that they don't know what else to do? We've got to make sure that we're looking at ourselves, that we're not just looking to take the speck out of somebody else's eye, but that we're ready to take the plank out of our own, right? We've got to make sure that we are submitted to God's Holy Spirit before we try to convince others that they need to be. Then last week, we did talk about how everything is spiritual and even our parenting. And this, again, a lot of these sermons, I'll be honest with you, I'm preaching to you, but I'm preaching to me. Like in the midst of a week or a day, you know, parenting is just something you do, right? It's just part of your life. And it just seems sometimes very mundane. Like, okay, we need to clean up the, you know, you got to pick up your clothes. You got to clean your room. You got to do the lawn. You know, like there's the chores of home and just kind of organizing and managing what that life is like. And sometimes it's really easy for me to forget that those times are spiritual times. Like God is at work in those times. When I'm disciplining my children, like those are spiritual times. My children might not think so, right? And truth be told, I might not always think so, but I need to recognize that they are. Like God is at work in all of that. And if we aren't aware of how God's Holy Spirit is at work in that, then we're going to miss the fruit that God is trying to produce, even in the times of conflict that we have in our homes. See, if we are going to be people, if we are going to be parents that are living in the fruit of God's Holy Spirit, then we have to recognize first and foremost that this is a spiritual issue. This is a discipleship issue. See, this is what's really interesting to me. Like many people want to be, they'll talk about wanting to be better parents and wanting to be able to invest in their kids well and raise you know, their children to be godly and all these kinds of things. But then we look and we don't really see godly examples around us, and we don't really, maybe our parents weren't godly examples of what it was to be a godly parent, and the people around us in our, whether it be our friends or coworkers, like they're not exactly the best example for how to submit to God's Holy Spirit. And so we're trying to figure this thing all out on our own, when the truth of the matter is, like, the way of Jesus is that if we're going to be learning spiritual principles, we've got to be around spiritual people who can disciple us and show us and model for us what it's supposed to look like. See, if everything is spiritual, then we can't just imagine that it's just going to happen naturally on its own. No, we've got to put ourselves around people that are seeking after God as well. We've got to be disciples that are making disciples, right? But we've got to be disciples who are seeking after someone to disciple us as well. These are spiritual matters, and we need to handle them in a spiritual way. If we want to be parents that are seeing the fruit of God's Holy Spirit in our lives, then we've got to make sure that we are getting into God's Word each and every day. If we want to be parents that are seeing the fruit of God's Holy Spirit in our kids, then we've got to be praying each and every day. If we want to be parents that are seeing the fruit of God's Holy Spirit in our lives, then we've got to be intentional about being godly people, around godly people, in God's Word, talking to God. If we're not doing those things, if we don't have those inputs into our lives, then how can we expect to see that output through our lives? All of this comes back to the situation that we're going through this week as well. See, so many of us, one of the things that I have observed, particularly through Facebook and other social media this week, is that a lot of people are just kind of talking out of their own experiences. And experiences shape and a big part who we are, right? I don't deny that at all. However, we as the church need to recognize that our opinion means nothing. Amen, Pastor. All right. Let me try that again. We need to recognize that individually, our opinion means nothing. The only thing that matters is God's opinion. The only thing that matters is God's Word. Like we can have all the nice things to say that we might want to say. We can say all kinds of things that make sense. But if it ain't God's Word, then it's just our opinion. And while our opinion might sound nice, our opinion is not going to save anybody's life. Our opinion is not going to redeem anybody from their sin. Our opinion is not going to save anybody from hell. Like, our opinion is not going to save our culture and our world. Like, our opinion isn't going to do any of that. Only the Word of God can do that. Only the power of God can do that. So we need to make sure that if we're going to speak into a culture, into a situation, that we've got to speak God's Word into that culture and into that situation. See, it's not just about, like, well, what do I think? And let me be clear, like if you all follow me on Facebook, you've seen, I've said a couple of things myself some things that are my opinion as well. But recognize beyond the shadow of a doubt, my opinions are not going to change anyone's life. Only the Word of God can do. Only Jesus can do that. Only our submission to a Savior can actually change us. The only way we can see the fruit of God's Holy Spirit produced in our lives is if we submit to His Spirit. We can't produce good fruit on our own. We don't have that capacity. We are fallen people that on our own only go to sin and only go to our own self-destruction. The only way that we can see the fruit of God's Holy Spirit made alive in our families and in our culture and the world around us is if we are submitting to God's Holy Spirit, so that when we find ourselves in those situations, we don't have to just sit back and say, oh well, my goodness, the devil is just running rampant. No, the devil's been at it for too long now. Maybe we need to jump into those situations with the Holy Spirit inside of us, that we can not only see that fruit produced in us but through us to those around us as well. See, church, one of the things that I've noticed is that when it comes to these two different ways of seeing the fruit of God's Holy Spirit produced, more often than not, the church has been the one that has retreated back in protection, self-protection. We distance ourselves from the world, right? We distance ourselves from, quote-unquote, the culture, even though I don't really like that term. We distance ourselves from anything that might seem like it's not of God. And we get together in what is sometimes referred to as sort of a holy huddle, right? And we just try to stay as isolated as possible so that we don't, so that we aren't corrupted by the world, right? And while there is some benefit to that, for example, with our kids, like our kids are not going to know how to process, you know, all of these things sometimes. And while it's really important for us to talk to our kids about it, it's also important for us to kind of protect our kids from some things as well, because they don't need every temptation that is out there, right? They don't need every temptation that we've already gone through. They don't need every temptation that we're struggling with even right now. So there is a measure of protection that is important to have there. However, Jesus didn't die on the cross just so the church could stay in Jerusalem. Jesus didn't die on the cross just so that 12 men could be saved. Jesus didn't die on the cross just so that the group, that one group that was there could be saved, and that was it. No. He gave them a commission to go into all the world. Like, let me just tell you, all the world wasn't saved yet. And they weren't going to be saved until disciples decided to follow what Jesus said and go into all the world, proclaiming the good news of the gospel of Jesus Christ. Church, we have stepped back in self-protection, I think, a little too much. And I think, if anything, this has been a time that has motivated me to see that we as a church need to rise up. You know what? Just last night, even, I was going through the Facebook feeds again, and it's one of those things where maybe I shouldn't. In some ways, I feel like, you know, it kind of drags me down, right? Because you read these things, and it can be kind of depressing, you know. And some people might hear that and say, "Oh, Pastor, you just stop it with the Facebook thing. Like, it's just not good for you, you know." But it kind of dawned on me as I got to a point last night where I was like, "Okay, I just gotta shut the laptop and just go on to bed." And it dawned on me, you know, like, part of the reason that there's the rioting and the looting and all the protesting and everything that we're seeing right now is because while I can shut the laptop and go to bed, not everybody can. For some people, their life is the laptop. Their life is what's out there. And as exhausting as it may be for me to hear these stories for a week, imagine that being your life, right? Imagine that. And I know for some, it's not that hard to imagine. You know that feeling. You know the exhaustion of, as I saw just yesterday, one more hashtag, one more name, one more story. It happened again. It is exhausting. But the good news is that our story doesn't end with being tired. See, because if you remember from a few weeks ago, what Jesus did was he came And when he died on the cross, he made a way for us to be saved through the blood of Jesus Christ. But when he rose from the dead, now he made a way for us to be made alive as well. So that the end of the story is not death, but rather the end of the story is life. See, church, what I'm saying today is that we need to stop staying back, even whether it is with our kids or whether it is with our society in regard to race or any other issue. We need to stop staying back in our protective ways, and we need to step up and recognize, you know what? We have good news. We know Jesus, and we know that he's able to conquer anything. We know the blood of Jesus Christ is enough to heal a nation and to heal a world. We know that the blood of Jesus Christ is enough to overcome any sin. We know that the blood of Jesus Christ is enough to overcome death itself. Amen? And so if we have that good news, we need not just sit back in our exhaustion. Although, let me say, that is not to say that we should ignore the fact that it is tiring how often this is happening. But in that, even while we are feeling that, and I think it is important for all of us to feel that, even in the midst of that, we are the church who has to rise up and speak good news. Not ignoring what the problem is, but engaging what the problem is. Not just pretending like it's all okay, but actually recognizing it's not okay. Not just retreating back to our places of worship, but going out into the world with the good news of Jesus Christ to be able to say, you know what? Things are broken, but Jesus restores broken things. Things are sick, but Jesus heals sick people. Like things are not the way they're supposed to be, but Jesus died on the cross to set things right. Like, we as a church need to rise up in this moment with a word of good news. We don't have to walk around with our heads down. We are able to walk around in the good news of Jesus, recognizing that we can come alongside each and every one that is feeling this pain. Feel that pain too, and rise up together in the good news of Jesus Christ. See, the truth of the matter is, like, as much as we are talking about issues of race right now, we're talking about issues with your children as well, because your children are going to go through some really hard times. Your children are going to experience some struggles, whether it be at school or with friends or temptations, whether it be online or with drugs or whatever that might happen to be. And your kids need to know that you're not just retreating back from what's wrong. Your kids need to know that you're not just following, you're not just trying to protect yourself and protect them, but the truth of the matter is, your kids are involved in some hard stuff, and they need to know that you're going to go and be in the middle of that hard stuff too. You're going to go and you're going to be with them in that, and you're going to bring the gospel into that, and you're going to speak hope and truth and life into that, and that Christianity is not this other thing that is outside of the issue of drugs or premarital sex depression or anxiety or all those things. No. Christianity is actually what speaks into that. Jesus makes a way into that. And as parents, we have to be sensitive to the leading of God's Holy Spirit to be able to bring the gospel into hard places. Amen? We have to be able to bring the gospel into hard places. But if we aren't careful, we'll find ourselves submitting to our flesh, which tells us either to retreat or to fight in the ways of the world. What we need to be as a church is one that fights in the ways of God, that fight with the weapons of the flesh, right? And so the weapons of the word, the weapons of the spirit. Let me clarify that. We are not fighting in the weapons of the flesh. We are fighting with the weapons of the word. We're fighting with the weapons of the spirit, whether that be in our homes, whether that be in our workplaces, whether that be as we're watching the news, we fight with the Holy Spirit to see the Spirit's fruit produced in us. I want to go ahead and invite the worship team to come back up. There was a great post that I had seen from Tony Dungy, and many of you may have seen this before. I think it came out just yesterday. But I want to just read this for you. I think this is a great way to speak into the situation that we have here. And he says, America is in a very sad place today. We've seen a man die senselessly at the hands of the very people who are supposed to be protecting our citizens. We've seen people protest this death by destroying property and dreams of people in their own community, the very people they are protesting for. We have many people pointing fingers of blame, painting the opposite side with a broad brush. We have anger and bitterness winning out over logic and reason. We have distrust and prejudice winning out over love and respect. What happened to George Floyd was inexcusable, and it should have never happened. Justice needs to be served, but in seeking justice, we can't fall into the trap of prejudging every police officer we see. We started out as peaceful protests have devolved into arson and looting, and that should never happen either. Yes, there should be protest, but we do not have license to perform criminal acts because we're angry. Today, we are a divided country. We're divided racially, politically, and socioeconomically. And Satan is laughing at us because that is exactly what he wants. Dysfunction, mistrust, and hatred help his kingdom flourish. Well, what is the answer then? I believe it is to start with those of us who claim to be Christians. We have to come to the forefront and demonstrate the qualities of the one we claim to follow, Jesus Christ. We can't be silent. As Dr. King said many years ago, injustice anywhere is a threat to justice everywhere. But we can't go forward with judgmental, bitter spirits. We need to be proactive, but do it in the spirit of trying to help make things better. And it can't be just the African-American churches. It has to be all churches taking a stand and saying, we are going to be on the forefront of meaningful dialogue and meaningful change. We have to be willing to speak the truth in love, but we have to recognize that we are not fighting against other people. Let me say that again. We have to recognize we are not fighting against other people. We are fighting against Satan and the kingdom of spiritual darkness. In the words of the Apostle Paul, do not be overcome by evil, but overcome evil with good. See, we can't afford to just sit back and just let things go, whether in our parenting or in our society. We have to step up. We have to be intentional, biblical, Jesus-following leaders ourselves. And we will see the fruit of God's Holy Spirit in our families and in our society. But the church can't just sit back. We can't just protect ourselves. See, the problem with saying something is that my ignorance is going to show. But the problem with saying nothing is that my privilege is going to show. I would rather say something and recognize where I am not, where I need to change in my thinking, than to say nothing and just imagine like it's not my problem. Church, we don't get to say it's not my problem. If it's a part of this world, then God's kingdom is already there. The Spirit of God is already there. It is our responsibility as the church to join in with the Holy Spirit to see His good fruit produced. As we sing together, I want to encourage you to really think about, what does this look like in your life? What does it look like for you to say something? What does it look like for us to be the church in our homes and in our society. What does that look like for us today?